Thank you, everyone. I would like to talk today about obedience. So the Lord asked me to share something that is not a shining example in my own life of obedience. But before I get there, I'd like us to look at four scriptures. So my Bible is the New King James Bible. I always just say that because I never know if they're going to put it up on the screen. And if they do, it's like, what version is she reading? Jesus, thank you that you're my God. I love you. I serve you. I want to serve you all the days of my life, God. My life is yours. I want to decrease so you can increase, God. I want to impact this region and everywhere that I go, Jesus. I want heaven full. I want as many people. If you look in my eyes, God, I want every person that's ever looked in my eyes to be in your kingdom. I ask this in your mighty name, God. I pray that you would use me today. Help me unlock these scriptures with the example you've asked me to use. In your name, amen. I want to read from Philippians 2. Starting in verse 8. Philippians 2, verse 8. We're talking about Jesus here. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. You want to talk about an excellent and perfect example of obedience. Jesus Christ has laid a pathway for us. Amen? Our Lord is obedient. And you know, the opposite of obedience is disobedience, which when God has asked you to do something, disobedience is called sin. Okay, so let's just get that straight. We don't want to candy coat anything. I'm not a candy coating kind of girl. Jesus was obedient his whole entire life. Never once did Jesus perform disobedience because that is sin. He never sinned against people. He never sinned against God. So we have a perfect example of obedience, even to the point of death. Second scripture, please. Romans 1:16. Oh, wow, that's one of my favorites. There's a lot of favorites, you know? Let me get over there. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also the Greek." Can you put that on, church? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to be obedient when the Lord tells me to be obedient. One time I was at a Waffle House kind of thing. I was meeting a pastor there. The Lord said to me, "Would you stand up and invite these people to church this morning?" I stood up on the table. I said, "Hello, friends, I need your attention. It's almost time for church, and right here I have the pastor of the church that's almost behind the Waffle House. Why don't you plan on coming, and what you're wearing is just fine. And if you think you don't need church, I'm right here to talk to you because I think you do." I don't even think about it anymore. If the Lord asks me to do something, I'll tell you what I need to do. I need to move quick. Because you know what happens if you don't move quick? You fall into disobedience. Let me give you another slogan. Slow obedience is no obedience. Disobedience is sin. Third scripture, Isaiah 55, verse 8. I knew where I was going, so I kind of marked them ahead of time. Isaiah 55, verse 8. This is God talking. And Jesus said through the word, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, nor are your ways my ways." Let's start over because I did that wrong. Just start over. It's going to be okay. I'm a little bit nervous. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You ever tried to outthink God? When he asks you to do something, have you ever tried to explain to him how, no, God, you're wrong? I've done that. And there's a time period like children growing up. You know, there was a time when you're one, you can get away with some things. When you're two, you can get away with some things until you hit, you know, kind of three. And you look at your mama, she says, you know, you go sit down and you tell her no. Something happens, right? But somehow, you know what? When we become the owners of our own lives, nobody tells me what to do. I have an opinion. And that's your opinion for you to do that? And this is my opinion for me to do this? And no, I don't think so. And sometimes in the church, now I know I'm hitting hard. And I like you. I wish I'd met a lot of you. But sometimes in the church, we dress it up. You've been told by your leaders to do something. Oh, I'll pray about it. One time, I was trying. A person died in my church. A brother, a lost man, died in the church, and his brother came to our church. And he came. He said, "I don't know what to do. They don't have any money. They have three small children. What do I do?" I said, "Don't worry. We'll put on a meal for that family. I'll contact the church." So I did. I called the women of the church. You know, come on, we need to cook some food for this. And one of the people who happened to be one of my most respected elder women, leader women, she said, "Well, he doesn't belong to our church. Let me pray about it." I got all over her case. Pray? You want to pray? There's the opportunity to reach how many lost people inside of that whole family and sweep them into the kingdom of God. And all you got to do is make a pan of lasagna. And you got to pray about it if it's the will of God or not for your life. Come on, church, you know what? That ain't okay. Don't put God in your disobedience. Thank you. Next scripture. 2 Corinthians 10. Let me get over there. 2 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 4. Oh, I like this one. I'm glad I picked this one. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, for casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And I'll tell you what, if the church does not do this, the lost people are never going to get it. You need to be committed to the Word of God. You need to be committed to obedience to Jesus Christ. And if that ain't working in your life, then you need to get with a brother or sister, and you need to use whatever it takes for pulling down the strongholds that let your mind think you get to do what you want. You lost that right when you said yes to Jesus Christ. Your life does not belong to you anymore. You need to do what the Lord is telling you to do. And if you got a problem with disobedience, you need some deliverance. Wow, I just said all that in one breath. One more scripture, and I'll keep coming back to it. I hope you guys like me. I like being here. I want to come back someday. Okay, Matthew 28, purely evangelist scripture here. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. Matthew 28, starting in 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority." How much? All. All authority has been given to me, Jesus, in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Who in this room is a disciple of Jesus Christ? Please raise your hand. Let's make sure every hand is up. Look around. Who in this room is a disciple of Jesus Christ? Is he talking to you in that scripture? Okay, we can put our hands down. Thank you. Is he talking to you in this scripture? Okay. Now, for the hard part, I have to hurry because I hope I do this right. Obedience. How important is obedience? Have you ever failed Jesus? Yes. Do I plan on failing him again? No. Every time I fail Jesus, it does something in me. I can't go to just my husband and say, oh, please, you're my covering. Would you please just cover me because I just failed Jesus? The only person that I can go to when I fail Jesus is the cross. And I snuggle up by that cross and I'm like, please, Jesus, forgive me and help me. I want to be obedient. The first time I see you looking and calling my name, I want to stand up. I want to be like Mark. I'm going to say yes. I'm just going to say yes. I'm not in agreement with it. I don't understand it. I don't like it. I don't know how to do it, but I'm just going to say yes. I want to be like that. I'm so glad you guys have leaders like that. So this is what happened. I'm going to fill you in the story. It's going to sound a little fun, but I want to tell you what I'm doing it on purpose. So Mike started telling you about us being in India in a leper colony. We're going back in January. We need help. If you're willing to send me your email address, I need prayers. We'll keep you in the loop and what's happening. But we were in India before we left. The Lord talked to me. He said, Lori, I want you to go to India. I want you to hug the lepers for me. Oh, no problem. That's cool. He said, why don't you get some intercessors to pray for you? So, you know, it's not a problem, God. You asked me to do something. It's just a hug. I like hugging people. It's no problem. And, of course, I got the intercessors now. I am in India. I have a schedule of everything that I'm doing, and I'm going to go see the lepers on Monday. And I have a problem while I'm in India. I have a cut across the bottom of my foot from the back of my heel almost to the past my arch. I have this cut. And the doctors recommend that I leave it open, but you don't leave a sore open in India. So as much as I could, I was leaving it open. Indian people dress different. You have to dress like they dress, or they think that the way that the Western people dress is extremely immodest. Doesn't matter how modest we think we are. You have to dress like they dress. So you want to preach the gospel? You preach the gospel according to how they can receive it. You cannot show your ankles in India. That's a sexual point. You cannot show those. So I went, I bought the Indian clothes. I bought dressy Indian clothes, and it was as if I was wearing plastic. You put on these trousers. You put on a slip thing, you put on another dress thing, you put on a third thing, and then you have this long piece of material that wraps around you and comes to your ankles. And it feels like plastic in 100 degrees. It's Sunday. They take me to this lovely church. I'm wearing this plastic-feeling outfit, and we leave there. I'm feeling good. People had given their lives to Christ. Hurry, Lori, hurry. I say it and the clock changes. Oh. They take me. It's Sunday. I'm all dressed up. They take me to the leper colony. I don't belong at the leper colony on Sunday. I have the wrong shoes. My plan is I'm going to wear blue jeans underneath one of these little cotton things. I'm going to have on socks. I'm going to have on a pair of tennis shoes, and I'm going to have sanitizer all over with me. I don't have any of those things. I walk into the leper colony. It is a terrible place. It is surrounded by a garbage dump that's burning. This leper colony had about 60 people in it. And I step in there and suddenly fear hit me like you would not believe. I look up. There is a woman with gray hair that's standing on end, dragging her poor body across this dirt floor, this dirt walkway. And she's yelling at me. And as I'm looking at her, let me tell you what she looked like. Her hair was standing up all over the place, and she didn't have the left side of her face. It was gone to leprosy. She didn't have an ear on the right side. Her hand was missing down under her thumb. She didn't have any toes on her feet. Her feet were missing back to her arch. Her joints were all messed up. She couldn't stand anymore, and she's dragging herself across this thing, pointing her arm at me, yelling at me. I am so stressed. I look at that. I'm thinking, I got to get out of here. I don't know what to do. So I look at the pastor. Now, he's stuck in the leper colony. Once you go in the leper colony, you can never come out of the leper colony. The only people that can come in and out of the leper colony are people like Mike and I. I looked at the pastor. I said, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm thinking Western bathroom. They take me across this way, down another alleyway, and they have one community bathroom. It is a hole in the ground. And now I have to go potty like you wouldn't believe. Now, I know this might be a little graphic, but follow me. I have this piece of material that's very long. I'm trying to hold it up. I have to get the plastic dress up, and then I have these balloon pants I have to try and maneuver. I try to go potty. I miss the hole. It mixes with some leprosy potty that's there. And now I have leprosy liquid, for lack of a better word, are you following me, splashes up on my hurt foot. Now I'm struggling to get around. The long piece of material ends up in the leopard leprosy. My dress ends up there. I am struggling. I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Now, can you imagine the pain that's going on inside of me? I know I have leprosy. I'm trying to think about something. What am I going to do? I know what I need to do. I need to get back to the hotel. I need to pour peroxide on my foot. I need to leave India right now. I need to get back to the United States. I need a shot. That's what I need. And I'm trying to figure out what I do with this piece of material. And I come out of there with an intent. I'm going to tell Mike, you need to get me out of here now. And he will. He's a wonderful covering. As I'm walking out that pathway with a plan, an office dropped out of heaven. And Jesus stood before me in a white, looked like linen thing that had a top over. I know this sounds crazy. And he looked at me and he pointed his finger at me and he said, I sent you here for this. I was like, no. He said, I sent you here for this. I said, no. And he looked taken back. And then without putting his hand, stretching his finger at me, this is what he said to me. If you will not do this, you will not hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And it didn't have any emotion. It was just a matter of fact. If you will not do this, you will not hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Now I started saying, no. No, because don't we all want to hear that? Don't we all want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? He started talking to me, and it was really fast, because words are like, when Jesus is around, using your mouth is like snail mail. He speaks, you answer. He speaks, you answer. He said, they need you. I said, they don't need me. They don't need me. I don't belong here. I don't want leprosy. He said, do you think they want leprosy? They need you. I said, they don't need me. And when did you ever need anybody, Jesus? When? He was looked at me, and he read me scriptures. Father, I desire they be with me where I am. He said to me, you can't get to desire if you won't pass through need. They need you. We stood there. We argued. He said that India has more false gods than any other nation in the world, and he decides to make India a sign and a wonder. I said, no. He continued to talk to me about different things that were very personal, and I just said, no. I'm not going to do what you want to do. And finally, he looked at me, and he just said, you go do what you want to do. or follow me in India. And I knew something's really wrong. I could feel it inside of me. Something's really wrong. What kind of person has their name blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life? It's the person that won't obey God. And that thought came to my mind, and I went to run towards him because I thought, just hold me, God. Just understand. This is too much for me. And as I was trying to get to him, thinking, oh, he'll relent, the office disappeared. And I took off running to go find the woman with the gray hair that I thought looked like a witch. And I went running up to her. By then, now she's made it up to where everybody else was. And I got down on my knees and I held her and I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried. And I cried until all of the fear left me. And they're trying to tell me, no, no, don't touch me. No, no, don't touch me. No, you come here. You come here. And I held her and I cried. And then I got up and I hugged every single leper that was there. And I had bangle bracelets on. And in India, if you have a piece of jewelry, you're precious. And I took off all these bangle bracelets and I gave them, one to every woman, which made the men so happy. And I was freaked out. What kind of problem does it take when God drops out of the sky to correct you? How big is the disobedience? And when I got back home, I mean, I was afraid to talk to God. I was afraid to pray to God. And Michael's like, you know, you got to pray to God. And I was like, I'm afraid to talk to him. He said, he already knows what's going on. You need an answer. So this is what he said. I said, God, can you tell me what went wrong? I'm hurrying. It's 11:50. I need 3 minutes. He said, first, you were filled with fear. But I've been filled with fear before, and he's used me. Second, you were filled with pride. You thought your life was more important than those other people's lives. But he's used me in spite of pride. The third thing that he said was that rebellion. You were filled with rebellion. You're going to stand there and tell God what's what. But he can use me in spite of my rebellion. But then this is what he said. He said, what did you in was your opinion. Your opinion trumped the will of God. Obedience to Christ is very important. Obedience to Christ is very important. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, I mean, I came here as an evangelist to tell you that God wants Pagosa Springs saved. You already have the prophetic history that tells you that. God's going to send a lot of people here. You already know that. But you ain't equipped. And why you're not equipped, church? Because you're not willing to grow up enough that you'll take that scripture and own it. Now, you don't have to go door to door all the time, but when the church says this is what we're going to do, just have Mark's attitude and say yes. And if you learn to say yes, 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 you're not going to end up in that place of disobedience. It's not fear that will stop you. It's not your pride that will stop you. It's not all-out rebellion. Because, you know, as we grow up, we know how to handle those. What will get you in trouble is your opinion. And the United States and inside God's church values their opinion. Make sure that your opinion lines up with Christ, because his ways and his thoughts are not ours. Amen? Thank you, God. Thank you, Justin.